Cloning, thought the subject of science fiction just a few years ago, is now a scientific reality. Animals have been cloned, and now the question is, how long before someone clones a human being? The real questions are, should human beings be cloned? What are the moral implications? Are there aspects of nature we were never meant to manipulate? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to talk about the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subjects.
Multiplicity, a zany movie released a few years ago, centered around the comedic plot of an overworked building contractor that had himself cloned in order to meet the demands on his time. The idea that a genetic engineer could copy a man like a Xerox machine copies a document was, of course, absurd, but it makes good comedy. But the idea of cloning a human being is far from absurd in light of stunning developments in the world of science. While scientists cannot instantly make a fully mature adult like the movie, cloning is no longer science fiction. Cloning research and experimentation has been conducted for four decades, but it underwent a dramatic breakthrough with the successful cloning of a sheep known around the world as Dolly. That was back in 1996. The event exploded upon the scientific community, for most believed that genuine cloning was simply impossible. What is cloning? It is the production of an exact genetic replica. Dolly was the exact duplicate in every detail of a sheep that was 6 years old when its clone was born. The older sheep was neither the mother nor the father of Dolly. Its contribution was a single cell taken from its udder and stored in a laboratory freezer until the series of experiments that led to the creation of Dolly were conducted. David Palmer reports on the newest development in cloning, including human cloning.
The truth is, Gary, that hairs on necks still bristle when human cloning is mentioned. It stirs up feelings that scientists are going too far in meddling with nature, or that they are cheapening human life. Many religious groups also harbor specific objections because of cloning's dependence on human embryos. But some researchers see enormous potential in what is called therapeutic cloning, the notion of growing tissue for patients that is genetically identical to their own. Researchers in Britain believe that therapeutic cloning could be done without destroying human eggs or embryos, and this might remove many of the ethical objections. However, researchers admit that to begin with, they will still need to perform cloning using human eggs and embryos. Scientists who support the cloning concept say it's time for approval. They warn if regulators don't decide soon, there is a strong chance that some researchers will head for countries where there are no rules governing cloning. And that could prove to be a serious concern.
That was David Palmer calling in from our news desk in Canada. How is cloning accomplished? Here is a brief and greatly simplified explanation. In the making of Dolly, Dr. Ian Wilmot, an embryologist, took a healthy egg cell and removed its nucleus. Taking the frozen udder cell from the adult sheep, he fused its nucleus into the shell of the egg cell. Providing a minute electrical charge, he was able to fold the egg cell into beginning to divide and grow just as if it had been fertilized. No longer having the DNA of its original nucleus, it used the DNA of the implanted nucleus as its blueprint, or genetic code, for producing life, in this case, Dolly. Dolly was even able to give birth to offspring of her own. Eventually, though, Dolly died a premature death, raising questions about the viability of cloning. Human cloning is a moral dilemma. Like euthanasia and abortion, it begs questions about the value and purpose of human life. Back to David Palmer at the news desk. David, explain recent claims of successful human cloning and how close is the scientific community to this reality.
According to the website of an organization called CloneAid, they were the first to successfully clone a newborn child and claim that at least five babies have been born since, including two this year. CloneAid, considered a cult group with religious overtones, claims all life on Earth was created by an extraterrestrial human race they call Elohim. the ancient Hebrew word translated in the Bible as God. Are their claims true? Many are skeptical, yet the organization says that laboratories all over the world are seeking partnership with them, and that they will soon have in excess of 1 million customers. One thing we do know for certain is that the cloning process that begins with what is called stem cell research can be advanced to produce a clone duplicate. As one scientific report put it, while mainstream scientists have reacted with horror and skepticism to the claims of CloneAid, human reproductive cloning is likely to be a lot easier to achieve than therapeutic cloning. And that, in essence, means human cloning is reality.
What are the moral implications of cloning? We'll be back to tackle that difficulty right after this.
It seems like my life is out of control. I'm trying to hold down a job, rush the kids to soccer practice, and make ends meet. To think of all the dreams I had when I was young.
I thought that when I got to a certain age, I'd finally feel successful. But they keep changing the rules. I don't even know how to define success anymore.
I try hard in school and go to church every week, but I still don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. Sometimes I think, just have fun, because who knows what will happen tomorrow.
What is your destiny? Why do you exist? Is there a reason, a purpose for your life? These are the questions all of us ask. Where do we go for the answers? Here is a free booklet that can help you understand what the Bible says about your present and future. What is Your Destiny? Explains why God created humanity and the awesome purpose of life. To get your free copy of What is Your Destiny, call 1-800-966-9232. The number again is 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The number again is 1-800-966-9232, or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Today on Good News Radio, we're talking about human cloning. To discuss the moral implications, we have with us on a telephone hookup from Texas, pastor and radio host Dr. Donald Ward. Dr. Ward, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Gary. It's a pleasure to be with you to discuss this very important and complicated subject.
Well, you know, the human cloning issue tends to elicit, of course, heated responses on a variety of viewpoints. Where should Christians start in discussing the moral implications of human cloning?
I think before we really examine the ethical and religious questions that surround human cloning, we need to understand a little bit about the basic types of cloning. There are three types of cloning. One is embryo cloning. This is a medical technique which produces monozygotic or identical twins or triplets. It duplicates a process that nature uses to produce twins or triplets. And then there is what's called adult DNA cloning, or it's also known as reproductive cloning. This technique, which is intended to produce a duplicate of an existing animal, has been used to clone a sheep and other mammals. The difficulty with this, based on previous animal studies, that it has the potential of producing severe genetic defects. Then there is what's called therapeutic cloning, also known as biomedical cloning. And this is really the one that presents perhaps as many ethical problems as any other. It's a procedure whose initial stages are identical to adult DNA cloning. However, the stem cells are removed from the pre-embryo with the intent of producing tissue or a whole organ or transplant back into the person who supplied the DNA. But what happens with this when they remove the material to transplant it back into the DNA of the person who has a disease or something like that, the pre-embryo dies in the process. So actually here you have started life and then you destroy it in order to treat a disease. So you see, in any kind of process that human beings undertake, there's always what I call the unintended law of consequences. For every action that's taken, it creates some kind of consequence.
We know, of course, cloning is a modern problem. It's obviously not dealt with by the writers of the Bible, but at the same time, you know, as we deal with the ethics of this, what Bible principles, I mean, where can we go to begin to discuss this issue scripturally?
Well, I think we have to go back to the very purpose of life and why God created life in the first place and who is the creator. In the Western world, Christian faith has shaped morality for hundreds of years. If human life is not brought into existence through the loving act of a human couple, then the embryo or the fetus is treated as a commodity, a thing, a research tool that go to the highest bidder. So fundamental Christians believe that human life begins with the fertilization of the egg by the sperm. From that point forward, the embryo should be treated as a person. Now, over the years, when you look at the Christian faith, the Universal Church has tried to enforce various doctrines that later proved to be an error. For example, there was a time in which the Universal Church put people to death for questioning whether or not the Earth was the center of the universe. But with the invention of the telescope, it became obvious that the Earth was not the center of the universe, and they changed their position. But when you look at something like that, you're not looking at a moral or ethical problem because you're not looking at the very questions of life and death. So I think in order to answer this question, we have to go and look at, is God the creator? Is he who he says he is in the Bible? So I believe that is a starting point to look at that.
We know then it seems like the real issue here and most important question that must be answered before human cloning is morally accepted or condemned. The real question is, are human beings unique and are they different than other animals?
Well, human beings are definitely unique. The scriptures say very clearly that God created human beings in his image and his likeness, and he also created them a male and female, and he created them for a great transcendental purpose. Now, when the scriptures say that God created man in his image and likeness, what does that mean? Well, the two Hebrew words here that are translated image and likeness have to do with form and shape. God has form and shape. Throughout the Bible, the body parts of God are described. But on the other hand, there is a great contrast between God and human beings. John 4:24 states that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Whereas in Genesis 2:7, it says that the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into him into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. So man is made of the dust, but in the image of God, he's subject to sin and death. But on the other hand, there is the potential for a great spiritual dimension being added to his life, which does not exist with animals.
A spiritual dimension. We'll be back to talk more about human cloning and your uniqueness as a human being right after this.
It seems like my life is out of control. I'm trying to hold down a job, rush the kids to soccer practice, and make ends meet. To think of all the dreams I had when I was young.
I thought that when I got to a certain age, I'd finally feel successful. But they keep changing the rules. I don't even know how to define success anymore.
I try hard in school and go to church every week. But I still don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. Sometimes I think, just have fun, because who knows what will happen tomorrow.
What is your destiny? Why do you exist? Is there a reason, a purpose for your life? These are the questions all of us ask. Where do we go for the answers? Here is a free booklet that can help you understand what the Bible says about your present and future. What is Your Destiny? Explains why God created humanity and the awesome purpose of life. To get your free copy of What is Your Destiny, call 1-800-966-9232. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
We're back on a telephone hookup with Dr. Donald Ward discussing the biblical and moral implications of human cloning. You know, Doctor, the Bible says that human beings are made in the image of God. We were talking about that a little bit in the last segment. What does that mean?
Well, in the image of God, as I've already mentioned, has to do with being in the form and shape of God. That's what the Hebrew words there really mean when it talks about image and likeness. But man also is in the image of God in the sense that he has the ability to think and to reason and think in the abstract. For example, man thinks about immortality, about living forever, whereas animals don't really have any concept of living forever. So human beings are in the image of God in many respects. They are missing a dimension, as we mentioned earlier, that is the spiritual dimension, which can be received from God.
Of course, human beings have such creativity and emotional expression and so many aspects of who we are that makes us different than any other created creature on the earth. Now, how does this uniqueness of being a human being relate then to the morality of human cloning?
Well, the morality of human cloning, to me, gets into the very purpose of why human beings were created in the first place. God has a plan of salvation whereby humans can eventually take on immortality and be in his family and live forever. When God created human beings, he, in a sense, showed us that we could be joined to him, because in the creation process, he created Eve from Adam. That is, he took a rib out of Adam and he formed Eve. Now, some might say, well, God is the author then of cloning, but God didn't clone Adam. He cloned a female, a helpmeet for Adam, and then he instituted the great institution of marriage. In fact, the scriptures say that a man should leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the twain shall become one flesh. So what is happening in the human reproductive cycle is a parallel to what God is doing in the spiritual realm in bringing sons and daughters into his family.
So we've talked about the uniqueness of human beings, just scratched the surface of that, and of course being made in the image of God. So what is, I mean, if we look at the Bible, what is the potential, the Creator's purpose for each individual that he has created?
Well, the potential for a human being is to be joined to God and to receive of his Spirit. Human beings can be joined to God in a similar manner that human beings are joined to their parents. Human beings go through a begettal and birth process. And then in the same way, God the Father will provide his very essence, his Spirit, so that a new spiritual life is generated within a person. So just as human beings come together and produce life that is of the same kind of the parents, God through his Spirit begets us to new life. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are his sons and daughters. So when human cloning is compared to the awesome plan of salvation, one begins to see the obvious pitfalls. Humans were created for a great transcendental purpose. They were created to become sons and daughters of God on the God plane, to reign and rule with Jesus Christ forever and ever. So one of the first things it seems to me that cloning does is to treat human life as an object, a commodity that can be bought and sold in the marketplace, whereas when the process of birth takes place as God has ordained, You see this great transcendental purpose that parallels the human process as well.
You talked about receiving the Spirit of God. Are human beings born with that? Is it something they must receive in life?
Human beings are born physical. They are made out of 16 elements out of the dust. They do not have a spiritual essence within them in the sense of eternity and living forever. There is a spirit in man that enables that spirit to be joined with the Spirit of God to bring about a new creation. But the scriptures clearly say that the soul that sins shall die. So human beings have to have added to them this spiritual dimension that will enable them to live forever. The Apostle Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 15, where he said that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and this mortal must put on immortality.
So in a very real sense, human beings are not a completed creation. We are still in the process of being created.
Yeah, that's right, Gary. The human beings are subject to sin and death, is what the scriptures talk about, and that apart from God, they're not going to live forever. And I think one of the things that's involved in the cloning process has to do with this quest of human beings to live forever. And, you know, you go back and you examine the scientists and their motives, we cannot necessarily say that the scientists' motives are evil, because a lot of them are dedicated persons who are trying to find ways to cure many of the crippling diseases that plague humankind. But I believe we have to ask the question, can a person's motives be right, and at the same time, the consequences of his actions would create more problems than it solves? So we have to look at the long-term consequences. We have to look at what values we're communicating to our children as well.
We know, Dr. Ward, what are some of the real risks that you think are to human cloning?
Well, there are some real risks that are involved in this, Gary. There are at least three reasons why we should really look very circumspectly before we put our stamp of approval on human cloning. Health risks from mutation of genes. An abnormal baby would be a nightmare come true, and very often when they do try cloning with animals, they do have some very bad mutation of genes. And these abnormalities may not appear until years later. Then we have the emotional risk. The child grows up knowing her mother is her sister, her grandmother is her mother, her father is her brother-in-law. You could even have this scenario. What happens when the father sees his wife's clone grow up into the exact replica of the beautiful 18-year-old girl he fell in love with? Then technically a sexual relationship with that person would not be incest. And then you have the risk of abuse of the technology. What would Hitler have done with cloning technology if available in the 1940s? So there are powerful leaders in high places who might be of the same mind or whatever as Hitler, abuses technology for their own person. So before we go ahead with this technology, we really need to consider all the ethical and moral implications that are involved in it.
We know, Dr. Ward, we're up against a break here, but I would like to thank you for joining us today on Good News Radio.
You're very welcome, Gary.
Is there purpose to an individual life? It's the age-old question, why was I born? If there is a creator God, is he an absentee landlord? If you've been wrestling with these questions, you need to call today for the free booklet, What is Your Destiny? To have your copy of What is Your Destiny sent out right away, call this toll-free number, 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232. The call is free, the booklet is free, the answers you discover may change your life. And if you'd like to comment on today's program, and we may even read your comment on the air, you can contact Good News Radio on the Internet by emailing us at gnradio@ucg.org. gnradio@ucg.org. And we do appreciate your feedback about the program. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. The choice, it's up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
It seems like my life is out of control. I'm trying to hold down a job, rush the kids to soccer practice, and make ends meet. To think of all the dreams I had when I was young.
I thought that when I got to a certain age, I'd finally feel successful. But they keep changing the rules. I don't even know how to define success anymore.
I try hard in school and go to church every week, but I still don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. Sometimes I think, just have fun, because who knows what will happen tomorrow.
What is your destiny? Why do you exist? Is there a reason, a purpose for your life? These are the questions all of us ask. Where do we go for the answers? Here is a free booklet that can help you understand what the Bible says about your present and future. What is Your Destiny? Explains why God created humanity and the awesome purpose of life. To get your free copy of What is Your Destiny, call 1-800-966-9232. The number again is 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The number again is 1-800-966-9232, or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.